Amen. The power of the cross, that is the power of the kingdom of God. We're talking about the kingdom of God, and what is it? You know, is it just some big political thing? Is if you vote Republican or you vote Democrat, is that the kingdom of God? Or is it just a religious platitude? Or is it something way in the future? Is it something we ought to be thinking about now? Is it relevant to us today? The kingdom of God is countercultural. It's unconventional. So what is it? And will it matter when you walk out these doors later on today? Will it affect you on Monday morning as you go through everyday life? You see, the kingdom of God is about things being done Jesus' way. If you think about it, the kingdom of God is life as it was intended to be all along. Now, this kingdom of God that we're talking about is unconventional. The kingdom of God, like any kingdom, has to have a king, first of all. It's got a king, Jesus. Kingdom of God has citizens. It's got people in the kingdom. It wouldn't be a kingdom if there weren't people in it, because it would just be some dude who thinks that, hey, this is my plot of land, that's it. And then a kingdom has to have a realm. And our kingdom, the kingdom of God, is unconventional, because our king is unlike any other king. He is humble. We started talking about this on Palm Sunday. The King of Kings, the one who made the universe, rode into town on a donkey. No emperor in the day would have done that. They would have either come on the best horse in the stable, or better yet, they would have come in a big chariot. But the greatest king came humbly. Citizenship is different in the kingdom of God because the citizens choose if they want to be in. And back in the day when the Bible was written, that was not how citizenship worked. Citizenship depended on whichever emperor conquered the plot of land that you lived on. They made you their subject. That was it. But in the kingdom of God, you can choose whether you want to be in or out. The realm of the kingdom of God is not an earthly land. Yet, there's no political boundaries to it. The kingdom of God, as we talked about last week, it's here, but it's also not here. It's here because Jesus does reign in the hearts of those who choose him. But in the future, he is going to physically reign over the whole universe. So it's partially complete. And in this new universe that Jesus reigns and rules over, sickness and sin and evil and death are all going to be vanquished from it. So this kingdom of God, last week we talked about the realm. Today we'll talk about the people. You can open your Bibles to the book of Colossians. The realm of a kingdom is the area over which the king reigns. But as we all know, Jesus doesn't have an earthly kingdom. There's no passport to say, yep, I'm going into the kingdom of God today. It's not like that. His realm is in the already but not yet phase. It's in the hearts of all who choose him as their savior and who acknowledge him as king. So the people of the kingdom would be us, those who know Jesus Christ as savior. We are the people of the kingdom. Because when you believe the message, that thing we call the gospel, the good news, there's a transfer of citizenship from one kingdom to the other. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, it says this in verse 13. God, has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Did you get that? When you come to Christ, you get delivered from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. It's a citizenship change. And it happens right away. So let's talk about being a citizen in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Couple things. First of all, kingdom citizenship comes through faith in Christ. That is the only way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Kingdom citizenship comes through faith in Christ. And the good news about that, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to attain a certain thing. You don't have to get to a certain salary level or do a certain number of good deeds. When you come to Christ in simple faith, that's it. You are transferred into his kingdom. I have the privilege of being a father through adoption. I have some of my kids are adopted. And when we brought them home, the instant the plane's wheels touched the runway, they became American citizens like that. And when they became American citizens, they couldn't even speak English. They didn't really even know who I was. But they were American citizens. And likewise, when we come to Christ in simple faith, God isn't going to say, all right, well, you're kind of sort of in, but you know, you've got to go to church a certain amount of times, you've got to do this, you do, then I'll make you a real citizen. No, when you come to Christ in simple faith, you're a citizen. You belong. That's incredible. Citizenship is through faith in Christ. So now that we're citizens, what does it look like? Kingdom citizenship is cross-shaped. You see, our king defined himself by a cross. And we as his subjects need to look like our king. And so our lives should be shaped by the cross. And that's what we'll look at today, because kingdom citizenship, being cross-shaped, gives you an identity. It gives you responsibility or duty, and it gives you privilege. We have all of these things, identity, duty, and privilege and power. So what does it look like? Let's work through each of these things. We have an identity. Kingdom citizenship gives us an identity, and our identity is that we are children of God. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 15, it says this: For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. You belong, your family. When you come to Christ, God becomes your heavenly Father. There is no other religion, no other faith like that. Every other religion has a God who is distant and far away, and he's big and powerful, but he really didn't care about you. Or other schools of thought have so-called gods that are really more like us than they are like a God. They're just not that great. Christianity, we have a God who is great and awesome, and he is good, and he is right with you. He is our heavenly Father. As we sung earlier today, he died on the cross to set us free and to bring us home. And when you come to Christ, no matter what your background, no matter what your story, you're home in his kingdom. You belong. You see, none of us got in by earning it. None of us got in by our bloodlines or by the good deeds we've done. We get in through faith in Christ alone. We also are loved by God. Our identity is we're known and loved by the God of the universe. It's a basic truth of Christianity. But I think so often in the hustle and bustle of life, we lose sight of it. That is amazing. The God who made the universe knows you, and he cares about you, and he loves you. Some of you may work in offices or companies where the CEO is too busy to even know your name or to talk to you. But you're a citizen of the kingdom where the God who made the universe and is keeping everything going knows you and cares about every detail of your life, and he loves you. unless we ever doubt that, the cross reminds us of his great love. That's why we focus on the cross. Because so often we live by our feelings about, I don't feel like God loves me that much. Well, wait a minute. We don't live by our feelings. We live by our facts. And the fact is, there's this cross that's a historical fact. The Bible says that God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, look, if these guys get their act together, then I'll go ahead and love them. Then I'll go to the cross. But he went to the cross for us. Even though we probably would have been in the crowd spitting on him and throwing stuff at him, he went to the cross for us because he loves us. You see, his love is nothing that we can earn. He loves us because of who he is. And he offers us citizenship in his kingdom. The only way we can enter his kingdom is to come through the cross. By recognizing that Jesus has done everything that needed to be done so that we could be made right with God. We come to the cross and say, Lord, I believe you died for me to pay that penalty for my sin that I could never pay by myself. And I believe that cross is empty now because Jesus has risen from the dead to prove that he has paid that penalty. The world defines us. Nova defines us by our careers, our gender, our sexuality, our money, our position in industry. But God defines us as his. That is who we are. The world will tell you you're not enough. You're not rich enough. You're not beautiful enough. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. And it leaves us constantly striving to be more. But when the truth of who we are in Christ sinks in, you can experience real joy and real contentment as a citizen of God's kingdom. So we have an identity that is glorious. Citizenship also brings with it responsibility or duty. It's an upside down ethical system compared to what we're used to because the duty we have is one of humility and self-denial. And that flies right in the face, as Pastor Blake said earlier today, of the kingdom of Nova. The kingdom of God is like this against the kingdom of Nova. Jesus said this, our king is speaking. He said, calling to the crowd with him, his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. On a day like this, I can't help but think, that is a mother's job description right there. Self-denial and humility and sacrifice. But God calls all of us to that. How countercultural. Can you imagine you've been walking around with Jesus and you've seen him do some pretty cool things? You know, the crowds gather around when he speaks. He casts out demons. He makes sick people well. You're thinking, this dude is powerful. I want in on this. Then he says, okay, you want to come after me? This is what it means. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. This is unconventional because we're programmed to think about life in terms of getting. And that didn't even enter Jesus' thoughts right here. It's all about giving. Deny yourself. It's not a popular message. Kingdom living is about self-denial, not self-help. Some say that where we live is the land of the self-important. And that's why it's so countercultural for us to say, yeah, I'm following Christ. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Now, today, we've kind of sanitized the cross. The cross is it's a symbol, and most of the crosses that we see in church world or on jewelry are very nice looking. They're smooth. But the cross that Jesus died on was rugged. It was rough. It didn't look good. The cross, to those hearing this message, was a picture of execution. It was a picture of death. It would never have been something that decorated a wall. Jesus is telling people, be willing to die for what matters. The cross is a symbol of death and humiliation. It's truly about putting others ahead of yourself. And that goes against the grain of our culture. See, the kingdom of God is not the American dream. Kingdom of God really is impossible. If you think about it, none of us are really going to want to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ under our own strength and our own power. But here's the deal. The fact that our King has gone on ahead of us and our King has taken his cross, that then frees us up to take our cross. You know, Jesus says in this same passage in Mark chapter 8, if you want to find your life, lose it. That's a hard message to hear. But when we see that our King lost his life, but then God gave it back to him, that's where we can say, okay, Lord, this may not make sense when I choose to serve others ahead of me. This doesn't make sense. This is counterintuitive for me to deny myself. But when I see that my King did that and that you took care of my King, then I know you're going to take care of me too. Denying self, taking up our cross only makes sense when we look at our King and we say, he did it. And he got his life. He is the first to taste heaven and he leads the way for his people. See, because he's gone ahead of us, we can deny ourselves and take up our crosses in the confidence that he will more than give back to us anything that we give up for him. See, human tendency is to want to hang on to what we have. It's about grabbing and getting and holding on. But in God's unconventional kingdom, the more you give, the more you get. Lasting joy and contentment are really only available if you hold what you have with an open hand. But when you're latching onto it like this, you're going to be tense and uptight worrying about it. But when you're willing to deny yourself, take up your cross, hold what you have loosely, God is more than able to fill your hands again with anything that you gave up for him. Lasting joy and contentment come from denying self, not supplying self. There's great power in the kingdom. We do have a duty. We do have a responsibility, and that is to deny ourselves and take up our cross. But if you just do that by yourself without looking at the King, then that becomes drudgery and misery. That becomes doing it through clenched teeth. If Jesus said, I have to do this, and I have to do this. And then the insidious thing that happens in church world is when you start making sacrifices and doing stuff, you'll start looking around and say, yeah, but they're not doing it either. Our eyes need to be off of ourselves and off of other people. When we deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow him, our eyes should be on him, not on those around us. We deny ourselves, we take up our cross, we follow him as acts of worship towards him. Not to impress others around us, not to earn his favor. But when I see that my King emptied himself of everything so that I could gain everything, well, then that puts it in perspective. I can say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. This is walking by faith, to not try to grab and to get, but to say, Lord, I'm going to deny myself, take up my cross and follow you. The amazing thing is, when people do that, God works greatly. We have power when we deny self. It's the exact opposite message of the world around us. But it's an indirect power because it's not about us. It's about our King living through us, doing great things. So we have a duty, but we also have power and privilege. The Apostle Paul, arguably one of the greatest Christians to live, did great things for God. Towards the tail end of his earthly life, had some sort of affliction. We don't know what it was. Some have speculated that he was losing his eyesight. We just don't know. But something was happening that hindered him from living life as he had known it. And it said he cried out to God three times, Lord, would you take this ailment away? Would you take this condition away? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, Jesus speaks to him, King Jesus. He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Honestly, I think we just need to get out of the way of our King and let him work through us. But so often we want to be at the center of attention. But Jesus wants to be at the center of attention. And he should be at the center of attention because he is the King. We have great power. But we're never going to get it until we're willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. In Romans chapter 8, it says the power of him who raised Jesus from the dead is in us. That power that raised Christ from the dead, that's in us. Yet so many of us church folk think, well, that's kind of ridiculous. But can you imagine if every one of us here said, Lord, do whatever you want with me. Doesn't matter. Do whatever you want with me. I am yours. He could do amazing things. The early Christians in Acts chapter 17, it said of them that they turned the world upside down. The cool thing about the church is when it got started, it had people from every sector of life. You had the people who were the nobodies, and you had people who were powerful in the government. People who would never have been to the same party in regular times. Different social scenes, but they were united by Christ. And what they all had in common was not their place in life, but what they had in common was the King, Jesus. And they turned the world upside down. I want to be a part of that. Can you imagine God turning our community around through us here at Cedar Run? Yet it's been said that many churches are like zoos. We take powerful animals, put them in cages, that would be nice little churchy activities, and then keep the world safe from them. Whereas what if we said, no, we want to experience the kingdom of God in this area, and we're unleashed in whatever sphere of life we have. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Maybe you're working out in an office. Maybe you're at a construction site. Maybe you're in school. But wherever you are, the power of Christ being released through you, you can turn that place upside down. And if we're all doing it, that adds up to the whole community being transformed by Jesus Christ. It'd be incredible. Yet I think sometimes we're creatures of habit, and you know, it's good. We should be here every Sunday morning. I endorse that, but we become creatures of habit. We just think life is going to be normal as we know it. But God can step in and do amazing things. I remember on a missions trip seeing many of the homes in this very poor country had a bull in their front yard, and the bull was kind of like tied to a little rebar in the ground. And these bulls were big, and the rebars were very small. I mean, you would think that if that bull sneezed, it's out of there. I would never have gone in that yard. And I remember asking someone that lived there, I said, how does that even work? I mean, I would have multiple chains and padlocks to restrain this thing. And he said, oh, it's easy. What we do is when they're newborn, we're very young, we put a ring in their nose, We attach them to that rebar in the ground. And for the first few weeks, it will go almost crazy trying to pull itself away from that. But it's too small. And it can't. And then it just gives up. And that bull grows and grows and grows. And that bull has no clue that if he would just sneeze, he could break free from that rebar and go wherever he wanted, doing whatever he wanted. Many of us are like those bulls. We don't understand the power of the living King of the universe in us. He can do anything through us. Let's not be like those bulls. God's kingdom isn't contained in any country. It's not contained in any county. It's not contained in any state. His kingdom is in the hearts of those who acknowledge him as king. It's us. And he wants his kingdom to expand all over. Kingdom of God is real. He wants you to take it to the office. He wants you to live it out at home. He wants you to take it out into school. Kingdom work is anything done in the name and the power of the king so that others might come to him. Kingdom work isn't limited to church activity. Kingdom work happens 24/7, any place, because it can't be contained by walls or borders. See, when our priorities are shaped by the magnificence of God's kingdom, the stuff that this world holds out to us all of a sudden looks real small. That's it? That's it? Why would I settle for the stuff that Nova has to offer me when God says, I have much greater, better things in store for you? But in order for you to taste and experience what I have in store for you, you have to take a step of faith. Be willing to deny yourself. Be willing to say, Lord, here I am. You can do whatever you want with me. And this theme is all through the Bible. It says in Romans chapter 12, present ourselves to God as living sacrifices. Sacrifice didn't get to decide what happens to it. Sacrifice just says, here I am. And that's what God wants of us. But when we do that, he can do amazing things through us. He can do amazing things through some of the most unlikely people. Because remember, to be a citizen of God's kingdom has nothing to do with your greatness, but everything to do with the king's greatness. We come to him by faith. That's it. Anybody can do it. That's good news. We have a duty. But really, that just boils down to a choice. Anybody can do that. We have power, and it's available to anybody who says, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. Do what you want in me and through me. So, citizens of the kingdom, we have an amazing identity. We have some huge duties and responsibilities. And we have power that's greater than we can imagine. And it comes back to the cross. When we are confident of what our King accomplished on the cross, when we're confident of the love that he has shown us on that cross, when we're overwhelmed with how much our King loves us and cares about us, then we can take that step of faith and say, all right, I'm going to take things kind of out of my hands, Lord, and put them into yours. I'm going to deny myself. When we do that, God says, that's great. That's living by faith. And I'm going to show my power through you in ways that people will look and say, there's no way you did that. To which you can respond, you're right. I could never pull that off, but my God can. My God is great. Would you like me to tell you about him? That's how God can transform a home, an office, a school, a whole community. That's when the kingdom of God invades the right here and now, the kingdom of Nova. Let's do it. Let's be confident of who we are in Christ. Let's trust him by denying ourselves. Then let's watch him work in ways that are greater than we can imagine. And I think it'd be great for us to be sharing stories all along as we see God work in us and doing things that we thought we were incapable of doing by ourselves. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, we worship you as the King. You are able to do amazing things. Lord, thank you for showing your great love by sending us your Son to die on the cross for us, to give us life through his death. Lord, help us to trust you when every fiber in our beings want to hang on and take charge of our own lives. Would you help us to trust you and to believe that you really do know what's best for us? And then, Lord, would you give us the joy of seeing you work in us and through us in ways greater than we can imagine. Lord, I pray that you would do great works transforming families, transforming workplaces, schools, this entire community. Lord, would you invade the kingdom of Nova with your kingdom? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand.